We're going to read this morning, Lord willing, from Matthew chapter number 6. But before I begin reading that to you, I want you to turn to Philemon, just one little book, one chapter in one little book, that the Spirit of God has seen fit to place in the canon of scriptures, right before the Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews, you'll find Philemon. If you're there, let us unite our hearts together in seeking our Father's face. Holy, all-wise, all-powerful God, in whom we, by the Spirit of adoption that is within our hearts, can call you Father. And immediately upon saying that, I know in my own person, there's not been the respect nor the reverence nor the faithfulness or the devotedness that should be in me as a son. We are in ourselves, as we sang, full of sin, vileness, and wretchedness. Have no ground to stand upon that is of our own making. Cannot attain unto such heights as are required to be admitted into thy presence. Do forgive us. Cause us, O God, to walk as children before thee, to behave as the sons and the daughters of our Father. Give us, O Lord, a great measure of thy Spirit to direct, to uphold, to keep us on the right path. And help us that we might be men and women coming to full age, not in years, but in our walk with thee, we might be grown, not children tossed about, carried with every wind of doctrine, but knowing in our soul he whom we have believed in. And Father, as we sit for the next little while here, call our attention, our hearts, and our minds away from daily living, life in general, the pursuit of it. And Father, center them, focus them, heart and mind, upon Thee, upon Christ, upon Thy Word, that we be not careless hearers, that we be not indifferent, but this is, count it as it is, God speaking to the children, both in the reading and in the preaching. Father, there's no man that ever stood in the pulpit sent, called by Thee, that stood there in his own power or ability. And there's no man take that honor to himself. But we will recognize Jesus said, He, she, they that heareth Thee, heareth Me. We are not great apostles as Paul, but called and sent by Thee, so we as He stand in Christ's stead. He said, in the stead of Christ, in the place of Him, I beseech Thee, be reconciled unto God. Get them above and beyond the human instrument, Lord, that is as frail and feeble as the one they have. And make it in reality God speaking. And help these dear souls . May Thy name be exalted, Christ, lifted up by Thee, giving us of Thy Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Philemon. I have before quoted this, but I wanted to read it to you this morning, and you read with me verse number 22. But withal, prepare. And once again, I will ask you to get beyond that of the literal and physical. He did need a place. He did need a lodging. He did hope that he would get there and that he would be to them an instrument. Look at the spiritual. For if it didn't have spiritual significance or relevance, it would not be in the inspired book of God. But withal, prepare. Jeremiah and Hosea both warned us to break up our fallow or our untilled ground. Nobody goes out there and casts seed on ground that has been trodden over for a long time. You're wasting them. They got to have a place prepared. They've got to have soil that's been broken up where they can fall on that soft, new plowed ground. That's you. Prepare me a lodging. I'm coming to you with the Word of God. I want to stay with you. But my time with you, I want you to prepare. For I trust that through your prayers, seed fell on good ground. Matthew 13, one of four hearers, and took root. I trust that through your prayers I shall be given. He can pass through. He could preach to them or him. But never given to him as a messenger, as a servant. Never given to him as this message from God. So I hope and trust that through your prayers, through your efforts, there has been some progress made in preparation of your heart receiving the sowing of the seed. And that through your prayers, the message today will get far beyond that of the messenger and will become as the very Word of God to you. Now Matthew chapter number 6. Verses 1, 2, and 3, 4. Don't do what you do to be seen of men. If what you do is with a motive of recognition, then you have your reward. That's the end of it. You leave it here. Take heed. Verse 4, that your alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That might be here. It may not be here. It will be. God will reward you when the almsgiving is with the right motive. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, outward recognition, that they may be seen of men. So they'll wear the preacher's garments and they'll put verses of scripture, have them pinned around the bottom of their overcoats, to be seen. And God said, when a human being looks at you and recognizes your effort for what you did to be seen, that's the end of it. You have been rewarded. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, best you can, you're in a secret place, best you can, you shut out everything. Children, I know you could find a place where nobody would know where you were and it still not be a secret place. But when you shut the door in that secret place, in that closet you found, shut out everything possible. Pray to thy Father. You've heard here probably within the last month these fellows talking to you about their children and what they've gained as a father. God made it that way. God put a little example in your house, in your home, that little one. So you know something of the heart of God, the Father. I forgot what percentage, a small percentage of what you hear you retain. I think that increases up to 10 or beyond percent of what you see. You retain. Hearing is in the single digit percentile. But God put a little one. And now you know something about the heart of a father. Shut thy door. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And I want you, all of you, as they mature and as they develop, you're going to see some characteristics in them that comes from you. And sometimes you're going to see some of their actions and their behavior, and I want you to stop. It may not always be, but I want you to always stop and say, is God by example showing me what I am as a son or daughter to Him? Pray to thy Father. If I said nothing more, but leave you with a strong impression of Almighty God being a Father, we could go. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, pray to your Father, which the world does not know, which religion does not know, for He is a hidden Father. He is in secret, hidden, or concealed. And the surroundings the environment around and the environment within your own heart has somehow got to come up to that secret, that hidden and that concealed. Who or whom do you speak to? I've found public praying calls for greater attention to self. Because we will begin to pray to those around us, and we'll lose sight of our Father. Thy Father, which is hidden. Thy Father, which is in secret. You don't always find Him. You're not always aware. And in the world, no man knoweth the Father. No man. Except the Son. And no man knows the Son. Except the Father. Then Lord, how is it that we can bow our unworthy heads and even at times dare lift up our eyes to get aside of our Father? How can we do that when no man knows you? No man except Him to whom the Son reveals the Father. Philip said, Lord, if you'd show us the Father, you're talking about being a son, and we know if you're a son, then there's got to be a father around somewhere. Show us the Father. And that'll suffice. That'll be sufficient for us. Philip, have I been with you so long and thou hast not known me? Don't you know that when you look into my face and when you watch my actions and you hear my words, don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? These little ones are going to grow up and resemble you. Somebody looks in their face and they're going to see your face. I and my Father are one. And sometimes folks are going to look at their actions and they're going to see your actions. Now I know that it won't always be evidence when they see the little one's actions. They've got friends that impress them. They've got society from which they draw a lot. But a lot of times, folks going to hear you when your children talk. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. He's the one that brought the need. He's the one that was the cause of the effect which produced the need. Were you to get to Him, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. And here's our text. And Christ has set down in just a few words. One of the old writers, I can't remember who, said, there is so much of what Christ said in the little. Unlike us that say so much, but have so little in it. Not Christ. There was no word, single word that fell from his lips that does not have significance and relevance. After this manner, he's not saying here, every time you pray, if you don't follow these words here, then you're not praying. He's just given you an example. He's given you the manner in which and it always begins. We get in secret. We're talking to our Father that is in secret. After this manner, pray ye. I don't think I'll get past these two words this morning, but I want you to consider them. Number one, hour. And sometimes I'll stop and wait a good little period of time before I utter that word. My hour. I want to get a little grasp of the Father. I don't want irreverence. I don't want ungodliness. I don't want carelessness in mind, especially in heart. So just stay there a little bit, reflecting upon the word my. Go tell my disciples that I send to my Father. But I want you to make sure that in that you include to them that it is their Father. I want them, when they use that term, when they hear that the ascension of the Son back to the Father not only purchased their sonship, but gave them the adoptive right as the Son of Adam, sons of Adam. Now, as the very sons of God to enter into the secret place, go tell them I send to my Father and their Father. Tell them I ascend to my God. You see the word Lord, especially throughout the Old Testament when all the four letters are in capitalization. That word in the Hebrew is Jehovah. It means the self-existing, omnipotent one. But when you see the word, with just the L capitalized, it speaks of Elohim. It's not speaking about the sovereign ruler of the universe, the self-existent one, is speaking about God Almighty in a relationship to people. As a master, even as a husband. For David said, the self-existent one, Jehovah, said unto my master, unto my bridegroom, David got it all. Recognized God the Father. And he recognized the relationship which Christ, the holy, infinite, eternal Son of God, brought him into. Our Father. Ours personal. I'm not praying in general to the Father of the church in its entirety. Sometimes I do. But sometimes there's just a pause there to get a singular, my Father. Personal. You've not received the spirit of bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You've received the Holy Spirit of God that's taken up indwelling in your soul. For it is only by the Spirit of God that you can call God your Father. If it wasn't a birth, He's not your Father. If you weren't sired into the family of God, He's not your Father. You didn't get into the family of God by a decision. You got into the family of God by a birth. You're not a child because of a single solitary experience. You're a child by birth. You are a child because of Christ. Now the birth may have brought, and usually does, many experiences through life. But we receive the spirit of adoption. We've received the spirit within. It's necessary, fellows, that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Spirit cannot come. But if the Spirit comes, He will take my place. He will not only indwell you, but He will be the one alongside of you that takes the things of me. And all through life, He'll be teaching you about the man that you are espoused unto. About the man that's being formed within you. And it is only by the spirit of adoption that has residence in your soul that you are enabled to cry. Not because you belong to the church. Not because you were baptized. Not because you've been saved 20 years, it's because the Spirit of adoption in your soul cries out, Abba, my Father. You talk to your Father. Do you? Or you're talking to a generic God. It's a prized personal possession. Folk, I'd part with everything in this world. Wouldn't take 10,000 like it. If I had to lose that relationship. My Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through His abundant mercy, 1 Peter 1:3, hath begotten, born us, birthed us with a lively, living hope. Sometimes it does not seem that there is hope within. Sometimes it seems so small. Sometimes it seems like it's altogether gone. But it can't. It's a living hope. Always within the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope in our soul by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, folk, true praying is you getting in the closet, the secret place, and you closing the door, and by that living hope within your soul, the world, things, life itself, events, happenings tomorrow, that which took place yesterday, all gone. Somebody said if all you've got to be thankful for today is what you got yesterday, you're in trouble. Some folk live on yesterday's memories, yesterday's events. If all you got within your soul today is yesterday, there is not that living hope within. I mean, it might be there, but it's so crowded by living hope by the resurrection. Every time you ascend, where you are on your knees before God, every time you pray, it is because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me. Voice of God talking with me, which said, folk, get in the closet, get in the secret place, and getting to that point where in your soul you can call the eternal, infinite, all-holy, omniscient God. You can call Him my Father. It's because of a living hope in your soul. There was that voice within which said, come up hither. There's a resurrection. We live because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly we know something about His death, or like as Jesus Christ was planted through death in the earth, we know something about His death in our spiritual being, and we know something about His resurrection. It's not talking about at the end of time when all of us leave the world, the resurrection. That's what was wrong with Martha. Martha, your brother will rise. Oh yeah, Lord, I know that. In the resurrection, in the last day. Martha, the resurrection is not an event. It is not a happening down the road. The resurrection is me. The resurrection is a person. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way. Not talking me walking down some path that I've designed mentally. It's Christ. He is the resurrection. And folk, every son and daughter of Adam that has been born again knows something of the power of the resurrection. On your knees. You can't pray until there's an ascension. You can't get to God who's in secret until there's a working of the Spirit of God resurrecting you one more time from death, from sin, from self. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You remember when I've asked him on several occasions to give us that saying of the old prophet of God that's now in eternity about a church not having her prayers answered when the church begins to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's me rising above me. Me getting out of self. And be talking in heaven's language. You go have it answered 100% of the time. Now that's gonna put a question mark in some of you's mind because some of you have been praying for things that you have not yet received. If you felt it was of God when you ask, then don't give up. Habakkuk 2, the vision, that living word, that living oracle is for an appointed time. Don't give up. Cling more to the faithfulness of God than to your own feelings. God who has promised, if it's promised by God, it must be. God would have to cease to be, turn the reins over to the devil if God doesn't do what he said. The vision is for an appointed time. It won't be 1 second later than when God has appointed, and it won't arrive 1 second prior to the appointed time of God. Egypt, Israel left Egypt the same night. Before Jacob ever went down there, before Joseph was ever a prisoner in a cell, before Abraham was ever formed, God had appointed that Israel would end up in Egypt as bond slaves, but he had appointed the day and the hour and the second in which they had leave. And though it tarry, the vision, wait for it will surely come. As certain as the sun will rise tomorrow, if God means the world to exist one more day, so, and more so than the sun coming up, is the vision coming to pass.
wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it. It shall surely come. And will not tarry. Lord, you just said if it tarried. And now you said it wouldn't tarry. And I'm like the disciples. We don't know what he's talking about. If it tarries, the first one is in your appointed hour. God's going to bring it to pass 2 weeks from tomorrow. And if you ever set a date, it's going to go past that. And though the vision tarry, wait for it. It will surely live, speak, and will not. The second tarrying is the God's timetable. It will come. And for all that is brought about by an ascension of a sinner, who has ascended into that glorious height where that child is before his or her father. Now, right now, are we the sons of God? Okay, if I am, then there's a spirit within saying, my Father. Sometimes I would speak to him as my God. Sometimes I would speak to him as my Father. Sometimes I would speak to him as the great sovereign ruler over all things. Now, are we the sons of God? And it doth not appear what we shall be. Mind can't entertain thoughts of the resurrected body reunited with your soul somewhere out yonder in the distant future. You can't attain unto that knowledge. You can't get that high. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For the last great transformation takes place when we see him. We shall be like him. We shall be as he is. That's the sons in general, including the daughters. That's the consummation of the sons and the daughters of God. United with the bridegroom as husband.